Hoes, hoes, hoes. Our normal episode, news, reviews, all of that is on vacation. This special episode, we're going to grab some nog, sit by the fire, and only talk about the winter holidays. We're going to discuss our favorite Christmas movie cliches, how hard it is to make a Christmas movie in today's climate, maybe a carol or a poem. Not maybe, there's definitely going to be one. And even a few memories. Oh, by the way, Santa's coming back. He made time. Welcome to the Hollywood Outsiders annual holiday special. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'll be your host. Joining me today are my fellow hosts. Scotty Clark's returning.
Hey, what's going on, Aaron?
Hey, this is our this tradition started with us many, many years ago.
How long have we been doing the Christmas episode?
This is the fifth year, I think.
This is the fifth year?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody should go back and listen to all of them because a couple of them were wild and crazy.
I think the first year might have been my favorite, the first time when it was all fresh and new and exciting.
When it was just us? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to say,
oh, it was
let's,
just
get,
us,
let's
wasn't
get rid of
it?
Everybody else.
No, I didn't
let's
mean
alone.
Like
let's be alone. And Amanda Sink,
hello,
welcome.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So this is your first holiday
this
special.
This is my first holiday special, yes.
That are is you correct. Excited to do this?
I'm a little nervous.
Why?
Because I've got to like stand up to the Scott Clark, the infamous Scott Clark. On the This is his episode. This really is his episode.
Hashtag wow. Internet famous.
Yeah. He did the hashtag sign with his fingers, too. I wish you guys could have seen that, because that was beautiful.
Like, bring him up, or what? Like a gang symbol. John will not be joining us. He's got some stuff going on with his family, so he will not be here for this event.
No, come on. You can be honest. He heard I was coming,
yeah,
and he's like, screw
that's
that.
True. Well, actually, he heard Christmas was coming. He's like, no. I have some puppets to play with, which is probably true. He's probably playing with a puppet right now.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
That's what he calls it.
Just to be clear, so everybody knows, whenever you hear this sound, that is your warning that Santa Claus himself is going to drop by and answer a couple listener questions. So be ready. He's touched, if you know what I mean.
Santa got a southern accent, by the way.
You know, which is ironic, if you think about it.
Because he's from the north?
Yeah. Okay, so are you guys all ready for the holidays? Any special events planned this year for Christmas or New Year's? We're going to talk about movie and TV as well, but, yeah. You know, just get into it a little bit.
Well, I mean, every year we host a holiday party at my house, which you come to mm-hmm. every year, and it's kind of a big event. My wife has already started cleaning.
It's a huge event. You know what I always feel bad about with Scott's party is that they have, like, the invite list is maxed out, right? Nobody
right.
else can, and I've been there, nobody can fit in
there's
that
like
basement.
28 people in.
nobody else can fit. But I always feel bad because Scott makes friends, a new friend, like, every other week. So throughout the year, at some point, usually like October, November, we'll be at some gathering and somebody he's gotten close to over the year, whatever, and he'll be somebody will bring up the party and, you know, you can tell that they're like, oh, I'm not invited. And I feel, because Scott is a guy that can't handle any confrontation whatsoever, so he's just like, I'm just not even going to talk about it. At this point, I think you just leave the room.
Without saying a word.
Rather than have the conversation about...
Kind of like whenever you guys talk about Die Hard?
Yeah, I legitimately... And you're 2 years in a row, it's you that brings it up. Nobody else brought it up. But he like leaves the room because he doesn't. He realizes like I don't want to be the guy that says you can't come.
I want to invite them. I just can't. I physically can't put any more. And you've been there.
There's no room.
My basement
at all.
Is.
Someone would have to die.
Yeah.
Can I sit on somebody's lap to get in here? What do I got to do?
No. There's no room, man. There are already people on
my
laps.
Basement is much colder than the rest of the house. And when everybody comes over in the winter, there's no windows down there. It's a basement.
Right.
And we literally have to open up the outside door and put a fan up there just to keep any coolness down there because it gets hot. It's just insane with that many people.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm.
And we literally seat everybody at a table. We've got two giant tables, like we used to use ping pong tables, but now they're like these folding tables. We seat like 28 people with full, like real silverware, real plates.
Wow.
And everything and decorations. My wife lines Christmas lights all along the drop ceiling. There's ornaments and pictures of everybody that comes to the party. Hanging
this is making me more jealous. Where's my invitation?
Oh, man. If there's no room in the inn. Sorry. And we do a gift exchange, and there's a white elephant, and it's a lot of fun. And then just lots and lots of drinking. We don't do it anymore because everybody complained about it. We used to do a Secret Santa gift exchange where...
I like that.
You were the one that complained
Wait,
about it.
Wait, let me hear what it is.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I don't remember complaining about it.
Yeah, you said because there's no... It's all completely guessing and nobody knows. There's no skill
involved. I don't like how you... No. The Secret Santa is the thing I didn't like.
Right.
It wasn't the white elephant. It was
the
secret...
The white elephant's coming back.
Because they had Secret Santa, which is... Everybody brings a gift, like guys bring gifts for the guys and girls bring gifts for the girls. Women bring gifts for the women. Sorry, internet. And then what happens is like you have to guess who gave you the gift. But unless you know that, like, how the hell would you know? There's no hints. There's no indication. So I have no idea.
It's, you know, fun.
It's not fun. There's like no indication. So that's the only thing I had.
So the deal was.
Are you trying to say I ruined your party?
No, not at all. No, it's just, that's what I'm saying. People complained about it. That's why we don't do it anymore.
We said people, but you said you complained about it.
Well, other people, well, mostly you.
Okay.
No, so you really did. You altered his holiday party.
Good. I feel better about it.
But it was really fun because what we would do is everybody, after they opened their gifts, would get a sheet of paper with a list of like 10 blanks or however many people, however many men or how many women. And they would have to write in order who they thought their person,
I think that sounds interesting.
And then what we would do is I would take all the sheets of paper and go to the bar. And everyone would come to the bar and someone would come behind the bar with me. And I would read through and say, okay, person number one, did you give them their gift? If they say no, they have to do a shot.
Yeah, with a what? Six shot and maximum.
We did a six shot maximum.
Oh, good. Oh, God.
Because yeah, there's no way we're going to.
No, not good. You don't want to be part of the six shot club. Trust me, yeah. as a member.
We had about like five or six people in the six shot club.
Seriously?
And they were like on the floor. Sean passed out underneath a table at one point.
I've heard about this. Yeah, that was the holiday party.
That was fun. So
good.
We're not doing that anymore, but my wife has something different cooked up this year. Yeah, and she told me about it when we were out for breakfast the other day. And it's pretty interesting. There's instead of it's a Secret Santa, but it's instead of it, you giving it to a specific person, everybody has to have a theme. So they have like a 25-hour limit, mm-hmm. and you're given four themes. And you have to use one theme for your present to exchange, like a fun gift. Mm-hmm. And then you have a white elephant gift that also has to follow one of your four themes.
Oh.
And then there's more that I'm not allowed to divulge because Aaron's here.
She's so creative.
You have no idea. She is making party favors for everybody. Aww. She's been spray painting and she was literally drilling in the kitchen this craft that she's making. I can't tell you what it is, but she goes nuts with this party.
Does she need help? I feel like, I mean, I'm not invited. Maybe I can help her do her craft. She's like all alone.
Look at her trying to wiggle away.
Let me get in here. Seriously.
Let me be upstairs doing the crafts when the party's going on.
No. I'm talking about in advance. Like, she's obviously got to be doing this all on her own because she can't tell anybody about it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
She likes
poor lady.
She really does like it.
She, you know, once, now that I'm going to be finishing my degree and my paper's almost done, I will be able to help her more this week.
Good.
But I cleaned. She made me take all my, oh my God, you've seen my basement. You know my collection, my nerd collection.
Well, people listening probably don't.
So I collect old Nintendo games and I collect anything Legend of Zelda and anything Nintendo. And she made me take everything off the shelves last night and dust everything and then put it back, which took me 2 hours. That's a long time. So yeah, I'm gonna be helping. You're looking at me like incredulously, like you're not feeling sympathetic at all.
Well, I don't feel sympathetic because you're like, I have to dust one time a year. What is this? But also, I cannot. I've seen your shelves. I can't imagine taking all that stuff down and then putting it back up.
I literally can see was taking pictures of it before I took it down, so I knew where to put it back in the right spot.
That's just so. Weird in a weird, cool way. I don't know.
There's just so
much stuff. What about you, man? You got anything big events coming up? Or
I have a holiday party that's not Scott's because I'm not invited. But I do have a really cool one that I love going to at a friend's house. A couple years ago, I don't know, we get really drunk, and I'm not one who drinks much anymore, so it doesn't take much. But a couple years ago, like, somebody had a reindeer head, like a full head, and we were drinking, and I, like, pranced
like
around
in the
backyard.
Like, they cut off the head of
an
reindeer?
Actual reindeer?
Oh, no, I should probably...
It was stuffed or something? Okay. Like, Santa's hat is on top of his head?
It's like a costume head.
It's like Game of Thrones.
But it's huge. And so we have a white elephant gift exchange as well at that party. And everybody just gets dressed up, and then there's like tasty Jello shots, and there's always really good food. I make a ham cheese potato soup, and then the host makes these really amazing slider sandwiches that you can dip in the soup. I love the food. It's always
is that
so
Sean's good. Recipe of the soup, by the way?
It is, but I changed it a little bit.
Okay, because so, Sean makes the best.
Sean's a listener, longtime listener.
Yes.
Too,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It is his recipe. I asked him to give it to me.
Yeah, it's really good stuff.
It's amazing. So basically, that's what I do for that. Every year, though, I go to Chicago. This year is going to be really sad because the person I would go with, one of my oldest friends, She just moved to Arizona, so her family and I used to go into Chicago and spend the weekend there.
Oh, mm-hmm. She's so much warmer now, though.
I'm still sad about it.
Yeah,
I'm a little
but
sad.
She's probably happy.
She's all right. She'll
she's
be...
like worth it.
Yeah, pretty much. She moved for her to be with her boyfriend, so I'm glad she's happy and everything. But I'm still bummed that our Christmas trip is now. Yeah. So that was usually my tradition. I don't know if I'm going to go to Chicago like for that same weekend, because it's usually the second weekend of December that we would go. Mm.
I'm going to Scott's party. I'm going to the party Amanda was talking about.
You get invited to all the good stuff.
I'm actually kind of bummed. I'll tell you what. This is a true story. This is how sad of a person I am. So the party that Amanda's talking about is with Angela, yeah. At Angela's house. And she also does the Veronica marshmallows with Amanda. And that is on December 15th, which is also the same day that they are doing sneak previews of Aquaman.
Mm. And for was it Stubbs members or whatever? Or yeah, no, well, Amazon.
Yeah, it's like Amazon Prime exclusive premiere or whatever. And I'm kind of bummed that I'm going to be giving up Aquaman to go to – don't take this wrong, Angela. I know you're listening. I love your party. But Aquaman, dude. I mean, I'm just
it's
so,
Jason Momoa.
I'm so excited for Aquaman. I was like – I actually debated. See, I mean, Chicago's so far.
Now when you show up to her – when you show up to her house for her party, you need to knock on the door. And when she answers, you need to go – permission to come aboard.
Done. You absolutely should.
That I will only really do great. Aquaman quotes the entire
you should
party.
Dress up as Aquaman
as protest. Well, what's
like with a costume?
What's even funnier is like because I'm not going. My wife doesn't go to that party because it just conflict of things she has going on. But she'll be in town. So my friend Tyler is going to see Aquaman, and he's like, "Hey, I'll take your wife." And if you know Tyler. Loves to take my wife anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So he's just really excited. He's
because like, your wife's really pretty.
He's like, Christmas just came early, you know? Yeah, he's going to be saying permission to come aboard is I think what's going to happen.
He's going to be fashioning the popcorn bucket.
He's also younger than you, so he has an advantage. Right
and better
now.
Looking, at, arguably. Arguably better looking.
Ask your wife. Let's see what she says.
It's a fact.
Well, moving on, let's discuss. We are going to talk about movies and TV, I promise you guys, but we always have a little fun at the beginning and as we go on these episodes. Can we discuss the Christmas tree? Like, where do you guys stand on this? Real, fake, lights, one color, multiple colors? Let's do tree talk.
I love them all. But for my home tree, I never got a real tree, and I got one of those just like from store-bought fake trees, but it wasn't pre-lit. I think if you take the lighting out of it, you take the magic out of it. Even though it's frustrating and it's really
annoying.
What do
you mean if you take the lighting out of it?
Like if you get a pre-lit tree.
Oh, gotcha.
It takes the magic out of being able to decorate it how you want it because it's already done. I think that's kind of like the fun part is trying to make it sit right and then put all of your ornaments up. Like it just ruins that. So I always did my
pre-lit
fake tree.
Trees ruin Christmas? Is that what
you're
telling me? Yeah,
they ruin the magic. And...
you can't see it, but Scott just made a motion with his hand that is
down by his pants.
Yeah, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh boy,
here's your Christmas magic.
I'm thinking he's not on board with
yikes
this.
But I prefer like a white and blue, but I'm not opposed to the color. But in my office, I brought a tree into the office and we decorate it every year. This is one of our traditions.
Is it pre-lit?
Nope.
Okay.
And we do white lights and we decorate the whole office. This is actually one of my fun traditions is every year we take time aside in the morning during work hours and we decorate the whole office. We decorate my desk. We decorate the tree. We drink hot cocoa. We do all of this. I make paper snowflakes like I'm in kindergarten to hang from the ceiling.
If you go outside, it's the Midwest. There are real ones out there. You
know? Yeah, but they can't hang from the ceiling. So that one is an all white tree, like the white lights, clear lights.
I feel the opposite. I will say that growing up, we always got a real tree every year. Mm-hmm. And it was a big deal to decorate and put the lights on. So I do have the nostalgia of that. And it was like a big event to put the ornaments on and all that. I feel like if I had kids, I would go that route and have the real tree and you know make an event and drinking cocoa and all that. But as I've gotten older, I just want that. It's just a chore. To me, so
no,
we have a pre-lit Christmas tree. It comes in like three pieces, and then you connect the cords on the middle and the inside. I am more partial to the lights with all the different colors on them. I'm not big on like just the blue or just the white or whatever. Although I do remember my mom one year for Christmas decided she wanted to go weird, and she made a Victorian Christmas, And she had a Victorian Christmas tree, which is all white lights, and there was lots of burgundies and golds and stuff like that. So it did look good, but it just didn't, like, to me, Christmas is just all the colors.
It's with all the colors. You know what I mean? I get that.
So yeah, anything to make it just less of a chore for me, because I have too many things going on.
When you were, because I've never gotten a real tree. I've never gone through that experience. Mm-hmm. So what is the, do you actually chop the,
like? Well, you can. We never went out to like the farm where you actually chop it down like they did in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
We just went to like a tree lot or whatever. Like they
and
did
picked in, out which one you want.
Right.
Okay.
And then it was always really cool because you would bring it home and you have to cut off like about, I don't know, an inch or two off the bottom of the trunk so that it's got fresh wood so that it, when you put it in, you have to actually put it in water. There's like a tree stand that you actually have to put water in and you want to make sure you have a fresh cut so that the water can soak up into it and make it last longer. But what's really cool about that is the thing that you're left over, we always made an ornament out of it or a decoration. Then you would say Christmas, whatever year it was.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's actually from the Christmas tree. So you actually do keep part of it. So that was always fun. But yeah, my wife would love it if I decorated the outside.
Like I'm sure.
She would love it if I put like again, keep talking about Sean, listener to the show. He puts lights up like on his gutters and all this kind of stuff, and I'm just
he like Clark Griswold's out.
Not that bad. But here's what I do.
I've got a neighbor in my neighborhood that does that, and does just like, you're insane, dude. You're gonna die.
They are
insane.
First of all, I'm allergic to height, so I'm not getting up on my roof to staple. All
I don't think it's an actual allergy.
I was quoting him.
That's what he tells his doctor. Yeah.
So I seriously, it took me like 4 beers to be able to like climb a ladder to
so
the second.
So you have to get drunk to go on your
This
roof.
Feels like it's not going to help you in any situation.
This is
like,
every
that's make
sad
it-
story that goes on Darwin's Awards.
No joke. I could not. I was shaking so bad going up the ladder when I was sober and I couldn't do it. It took a couple of beers.
It feels like the right answer to get drunk and then go up. Yeah.
It was a lot safer than this nonsense, which you can't see.
But we are definitely not advocating that.
So. No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. So.
Don't drink and put lights up, I guess.
Don't drink and climb.
No, so but here's what I do for outside, because I just want it as easy as possible. I got me one of those laser lights.
You got me? I got me one
I
of
got
them.
Me one of these. I got one. No, you know what I'm talking, like you stick it in the ground and it shoots out just hundreds of laser lights that are red and green and they go in patterns and stuff. Boom, plug it in, turn it on, and it's solar powered. I don't even have to worry about switching it on. It's done. And it just shines on my entire house. We are going to get a second one this year so that it actually covers, because there's spots in the house that aren't covered, and my wife has a problem with that. So we're gonna do that. So
that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I grew up with real trees and then segued into fake ones, and I like fake ones better. I mean, it smells nice and all that other jive.
I do love the smell.
I'll tell you what, my mom had real trees for most of, well, whenever I was there. Man, the sap all over the floor and everything. Like, it was just never worth the cleanup. It was never worth the hassle.
It was more the needles that would fall that were very,
needles,
impossible.
We had sap. Maybe we got cheap trees. We were poor. So we probably got, they probably weren't even pine trees. I don't know.
Seriously, what are the Boy Scouts
like
charging?
Maple trees?
$35 for a real tree now or something
like
that?
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? I can get a fake one and I'm all good.
I've had the same fake tree since my wife and I got married.
Every year I say I'm going to buy one, and I never buy one. I actually this year got a pre-lit tree because I'm trying to kill the magic
for
of Christmas.
For shame.
And it's a smaller one, and I'm just like, you know what? I want to like alternate. Every other year, kind of do an easier tree. It's just easier. I'll put it up faster.
I want one that has the ornaments already on it. You know what I mean?
I don't want to do that. I like having ornaments.
You just have like a little green puck, and you throw water on it, and it just goes...
I still have the ornaments from when I was a kid. Like I made for my mom.
Actually, I got the one from like the year I was born, like the actual ornament that was my baby.
Well, doesn't your dad Christmas. Give you like, we learned that last year. Their dad gives you like 10 ornaments every Christmas and you throw them away like a savage.
Dude, you don't understand how many.
I gasped when I heard that on the episode. I was like, what are you doing? Okay, you're breaking his heart.
Listen, a copy paper box full of ornaments.
That means he really loves you.
Those are the extra ones. Those aren't the ones that are already on my tree. We have that much that are already going on the tree. Copy paper box full of ornaments that were extra. Not exaggerating. And we still get at least 5 or 6 every year.
You know, if you got a real tree, you might be able to fit those ornaments
probably.
On there.
I don't got the time.
Or desire, apparently.
Oh, you know what? I know you're like the fake tree too. Just another con against real trees. I have a cat.
Oh yeah.
And
that sounds more fun to me. Like let that little bastard jump on it. Just go leap at it.
I do kind of want to see that, but Yeah.
In fact, I might even leave a few bulbs out just to see if we can get a little action for Frisky.
Oh, you're thinking.
A little jolt here and there.
My wife literally puts on like one ornament at the bottom of the tree that she the cat likes to play with, and she actually lets her bat
That's
at it at
so
the very
sweet.
Bottom. So, yeah. Aww. Oh, speaking of, I know how you think I just like hate animals and stuff. We have some stray cats outside my house.
The this band? Is the band? Because no. it's theoretically possible that they band like, is actually hanging outside your yard.
They do like swing music. These cats do.
Oh, nice.
There's been some strays outside, and it's been really, really cold. I literally, and again, this is going to shock you, but I literally built a kitty shelter for them. I took two plastic tubs of different sizes and bought insulation and put it inside there. Taped it all together, cut out a kitty door, filled it with straw, and I've been feeding them.
Are they in there?
They are in there, yeah.
Well, yeah, cats will go wherever they're fed.
Yeah, we've been feeding them and got a nice warm place for them to stay warm, and it's pretty cool. My wife won't let me.
Good luck getting into heaven. That's going to help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It helps.
Every little bit. I would kick them out and put some puppies in there, but that's just me.
Dude.
You would leave the puppies outside, too?
No, I would put the puppies in. No, I would probably bring them in because they're puppies. Puppies are adorable. Kittens.
Kittens are cute. What do you mean?
They're better when they're away from my house and my neighborhood, actually. All right, so let's get into movies and TV here. So this is something Scott wanted to talk about. How hard is it to make a Christmas movie or TV special today? And in this day and age, man, you're not wrong because there's just recently, I saw that they had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer aired, and there were people all over the internet, and like there were tons of articles about this, just trashing about how insensitive it is, and da 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 da. And I'm just like, oh my god. So, how hard do you think it is today?
Well, even before we get to that discussion, I think I'm kind of torn because it's more difficult to make a Christmas classic because people are so hard to sell on anything new being fantastic, unless it's a Marvel movie or unless it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably
everybody true. is the classics are the way to go. That's what Christmas is. That's what I grew up watching. To put something new out there and to grab on to so many people is very, very difficult. Think back to, I think some exceptions to that rule are like Elf, which is
that was 15 years ago.
That's 15 years ago, right? But even that, I think it was kind of incredible that that movie latched on. You got a 6'4" guy dressing up in an elf costume. Who would have thought that was going to be a great idea on paper?
You, because that's you. I've seen you wear the outfit.
That's true. But I think that's the difficult thing in today's day and age is making something that makes people feel nostalgic and have the Christmas spirit at the same time because there's so much junk out there. I mean, I wanted to watch a Christmas movie, but I'm the person that waits to watch them with my wife. We mm-hmm. watch the Christmas movies together. So I'm like, well, what can I watch? She hates the movie Scrooge, so I watch that by myself. And then I'm looking through Netflix just to see what other Christmas movies there are. It took me about 25 scrolls to find anything that I recognized. There's all this stuff that just has Christmas in the title that just look like garbage. Like there's nothing appealing about them to me at
all.
Yeah,
there's a lot of junk.
So
usually a lot of crap movies that they set in Christmas time, but it's not really about the Christmas spirit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have that magic.
Or Scott's least favorite, Sleigh Bells and stuff like that, where it's a horror movie. He hates Christmas horror movies.
Yeah. Are you going to watch Krampus?
That's actually one I do want to see. I haven't
you
seen
say that every
yet.
Year. You still haven't seen it. It's been out for like 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
It's like three or four years ago.
Okay. This year I will
you
watch it.
You have to.
See, the problem is that's a movie I can't get my wife to watch. And I want to watch that's a movie I want to watch with somebody. You know what I mean? Who am I going to watch
it Well, with? Let's watch it. We'll do it as a group.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll watch it at the Christmas party without you.
Ouch.
See, my bigger thing is like, Just the people who freaked out on Rudolph.
Which I read those tweets. They didn't make any sense. Are you not allowed to have a villain in a movie anymore?
No, you can't. Well, I mean, the British Institute just ruled against people with scars. They're not going to fund movie. They're not going to give government funds to people without scars. We're going to talk about it on next week's episode. But what? Why? People are just getting insane with sensitive. Hey, I'm fine with being sensitive. There are a lot of things we should be more sensitive to. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything. You still have to have conflict for a movie to work. If everything's just rosy, it's kind of like
it's
a podcast. If you want to listen to, do you want to listen to a podcast where everybody just says, uh-huh, yeah, you're beautiful too. you're very attractive. I guess NPR fans will probably be like, yes, we do. But the majority of the world doesn't want to hear that. You know, they want to hear some opposing opinion. They want to see some kind of conflict. And you need a villain. You need bullying for a good dynamic. I mean, that can be a good plot point, you know, overcoming bullying, that sort of thing. And you need this stuff, but people don't want to see that anymore. They just, Rudolph, he's an elitist and da da da. I'm like, God, you cynical sons of bitches. I mean, it didn't make any sense.
I haven't seen Rudolph in years, so I can't even really understand.
I watched it this year, actually.
So can you explain to me what the issue, what is the problem?
I can't explain it because I don't understand it. So I legitimately cannot understand any complaints about it. It's a cute kids special. That's all it is. That was made 60 years ago, 50 years ago. There's a matter of time. You know, Holiday Inn, we've talked about that, how Holiday Inn or the movie is being banned in a lot of places now because there's a blackface bit. Mm-hmm. Now, and I get it, in this day and age, that is, we've come a long way. You know, we've evolved. But that was 50 or 60 years ago. We shouldn't run from history. We should allow history so we learn from it. That's how it's kind of like, so kids think this never happened. You don't want that. You know, I don't want that anyway. I want them to know this is how people used to think. Look how much better of a people we are. And here's why so many people are bothered by things, you know, bothered by the past. Here's why. If you take that away, people aren't going to understand. They're going to think it's nothing. Yeah. And we're in a simplistic culture as it is.
Well, that'd be like me going to my classroom and when we're teaching students about Martin Luther King Jr., not talking about how African Americans had to use different bathrooms and drinking fountains and
these are important parts of our history. They're not good. They're definitely not good.
No.
But they're important to remember and to learn to see.
Right.
I think.
What's interesting to me is that they have no problem, the same subset of people, and I'm speaking in general terms, mm-hmm. have no problem around Columbus Day talking about all the horrible things that happened at Columbus Day, you know what I mean? And Thanksgiving.
Well, he was kind of a dick.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But the point is that part of history, they're okay with bringing to light and shedding all this on there. But when it comes to entertainment, for some reason, we're not allowed to talk about what it was like back then.
Because I believe you should have stuff like that and you should actually have the discussion. It's more important to me that we have a discussion than to pretend it didn't happen. Because that's
agree
not
with you.
The way – I don't think education should work that way. It's kind of like when you have books. I mean, you're a teacher by mm-hmm. trade. You know, Mark Twain's books. I know that they've been edited and they've been – or banned from libraries because of how they depict certain events. I don't think that's the right answer. You need to have things where people can realize this is how history was and here's why it's better now.
Yeah.
Here's where we've finally come to here as opposed to here's where we used to be. Can you believe how – disgusting that was.
Right.
Here's where we are now. You know, those things are important.
I'm not saying that I'm on the side of this ridiculous antic of getting mad over everything, but I think that I don't want to, I guess I'm playing devil's advocate, but I wonder if those people are just worried that there's not, that those things are being cherished rather than talked about. Like the discussion isn't there, although we want that discussion to
That's
be there
fair.
And
That's
it's
fair.
Part of history and we should be having the discussion. Is it happening? You know, we're on a podcast talking about it, but the people who are watching it, who are, oh, this is my classic.
Or do they just sit there and groan and look away?
Right. Mm-hmm. Are they even talking about it? Are they even sitting down with their kids and saying, like, what do you think about this? You know, in creating that discussion, because if they're not having that discussion, it just kind of alleviates eradicates all of this that we're talking about right now. So that could be what they're upset about. But I certainly think that you have to handle it in a different manner and say, why aren't we having this discussion versus I want this completely, you know, erased from our history. Those are two very different responses to the situation. And we're not having the latter where we're actually saying we should be talking about this.
Right.
People are just saying, nope, I don't like it. Get rid of it.
Well, you make a good point too, because we sometimes forget that there are other people out there besides us that look at something like the scene in Holiday Inn like you're talking mm-hmm. about and aren't celebrating it or cherishing it like you said. But there are people out there, there are high school kids that are going to their prom dressed up like Nazis. So, you know, that kind of stuff is happening. But I don't think running away from it and eradicating it is the answer either.
It's not. It's discussing it. It's talking about it because you're never going to learn from something if you just completely, you know, say this isn't this, we're washing it away. Never happened. You have to keep that part of history, but you have to be able to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're never, if you have a math problem, if you don't talk about how to figure out the solution in the math problem and you're just like, oh, well, I'm never going to have to deal with this. And then when it happens later, you're just like, oh, well, I got rid of it. So I don't know what to do with this now.
Right. We live in a day and age where people run away from, and I know this sounds hypocritical coming from the guy that hates confrontation.
I mean, seriously, when somebody says confront and Scott's already out of the room.
But it's about having the discussion about it. It's about conflict resolution. Let's resolve this like adults. Let's talk about it. Let's come to a resolution and not just agree to disagree. I've learned a lot in the last 2 years in my as I'm taking this master's degree program about how going into a discussion or going into an argument with the intent of wanting your mind to be changed. Like, you try to change my mind and make me feel that way instead of going into it with, I'm here to defend my point and you're wrong and I'm going to bully my way through this. No, I want to hear your side of the story to understand what it was like, why you feel the way you do. I want you to try to sell me on feeling this way so that I can see your perspective and get that empathy that way. And not nobody, I'm just generalizing again, but that those kinds of discussions aren't just having, aren't happening.
Definitely not on the internet.
No, it's very difficult. Although I feel like our community, both of our communities are pretty good about having that with rare exceptions.
Well, that's because we kick them out if they start getting
crazy.
That's true. If coming back to the modern day, because of how sensitive we are today, do you think it's impossible to make a really, I don't want to say deep, because Christmas specials can be just light and goofy. I'm totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. But they can't really be challenging in any respect anymore. I mean, it really feels like it has to be safe. Everything has to be safe anymore to do, because they want to appeal to all audiences. So therefore, they won't do anything that involves bullying. They won't do anything that involves, you know.
Are people complaining about Christmas Story then? Because there's a bully in there that, like, you know, made him twist his arm and said uncle. I mean,
not why yet, but it could happen. I mean, Holiday Inn stood for years and years and years, and now people are banning it. I mean, you just never know. It really feels like we are starting to become a society that can't accept any discussion, can't accept any difference of opinion, can't accept any, you know, everything has to be safe.
And I can hear the emails flooding in already. That
it's
like
fine.
like we're
feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Like, we're condoning that kind of stuff?
No,
not at all. It's
but these are things that already exist. Things that already exist, I will firmly say, let them exist. Let history stand. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like now. Do you think it is very difficult to make a Christmas movie or TV special in today's climate that isn't just safe?
I think it's difficult to make anything in any climate because we're constantly worried about who's going to be offended and who's going to be involved in this. That's going to be involved in some scandal that's going to make us lose money. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for somebody to tweet against Christmas and then they're banned off the internet.
Santa Claus has been alleged for sexual misconduct with some, you know, I mean, that. I don't know.
I don't know if it's necessarily difficult because I think people want to have the Christmas spirit, but I also think that you're not going to be able to please everybody. It's much harder now to get a vast amount of people on board with whatever your idea is. Because if you say, okay, we want to make a Christmas movie, great. All of the people who celebrate Christmas are like, cool, I'll watch this movie. But then there's people who don't celebrate Christmas and they're like, well, where's my Hanukkah movie? Or where's my non-denominational holiday movie?
I agree. There should be a Kwanzaa movie, a Hanukkah movie.
There should be movies for definitely, those. Definitely.
Ramadan.
Yeah.
There you go. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. All
there should definitely be stuff for that.
So I think you have to, I think you just kind of have to make what you, filmmakers have to make what they want to make and understand that you're not going to please everyone. You're never, in no circumstance are you ever going to please everyone. So just make the movie that you want to make. If you want to make a Christmas movie, people who celebrate Christmas are going to cling on to that. But you have to keep the magic of Christmas in there, not just throw in the season. That's a very different thing that I'm not seeing in Christmas movies anymore.
I think they're all going to be Hallmark movies from this point forward because when it comes to Christmas, they want to make stuff that's going to come back year after year after year. People are going to come back to it. That's kind of the whole point of making a Christmas movie. And you can't have a vision if you're going to do that because as soon as you have a vision that conflicts with anyone – I mean, someone's going to lash out on it, and then it's buried and banned somewhere. I mean, there's just – I don't think you're going to get filmmakers making deep – you're not going to get Bad Santa in this day and age, I don't think.
You know, that's a really good point. Yeah, Bad Santa 2 is only, what, like 3 or 4 years old?
Yeah, but nobody saw that one. But Bad Santa, I don't know if you could make it today.
My point is more if you're a filmmaker, just make the damn movie. Stop worrying about trying to please everyone in every category, because you're not going to. If you do have a vision, just put the movie out there. Like, somebody is bound to cling on to it. And if it's only a few people, like, I think it's that filmmakers taking the step to try and do something that's not being done right now is what creates a movement of change. Everything starts with somebody taking that first step or making that first sound. And if they get, you know, if they get lashed out against because of their project, and it's not anything that's necessarily, you know, intentionally harming somebody else, they're not intentionally trying to, I don't know, what's
doesn't matter if they're doing it intentionally or not. Somebody's going to find a reason to be offended by it. Do you think anybody made Rudolph and said, hey, let's make a movie about bullying? You know what I mean?
I guess what I'm saying is, don't make a movie that's where you're making a mockery of a situation. If you're incorporating those elements of bullying and somebody overcoming it, that's part of, and they, you know, they still have the Christmas spirit.
Isn't
and they
that
do
what
nice
Rudolph
things.
Was?
Hey, yeah, that's fine. But I'm going to disagree.
But I don't think that's that many.
I think you should make movies that mock things. Totally. Mock the Christmas spirit. Mock everything.
No, I meant more like religions people and stuff like that.
I'm fine with it. Mock them. Mock the shit out of them. I'm tired of playing everything so safe.
Why is it okay for comedians to do it, but not for Christmas movies?
It's not even for comedians anymore. You can't do that anymore. They're like, they're getting kicked off the stage for improper jokes and whatnot. You know what? I'm firmly of the belief you have to be able to laugh at things, to understand things. And if you can't laugh at them, you'll never understand them, because you're already too firm rooted in your opinion, you're not going to listen to anything else. You have to be able to come at things a little more jovial. And by the way, we should probably lighten it up, because it is a Christmas special and we're getting a little too serious.
Real quick, though, I want to say something in terms of the comedy that you brought up and even how Christmas works. I think it's about your approach. I don't think there's, and this is my personal opinion, I don't think there's anything wrong with making a joke about a situation that brings it to light. It's just the way that you do it. Comedians in the 80s and even the 90s excelled at making a joke about something without laughing at it, but bringing people to kind of laugh at the situation and think about it, if that makes sense. They weren't saying, ha, 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 you're gonna get sexually abused or something. It was like, okay, here's a really uncomfortable situation. I'm gonna make humorous, but now you're gonna think about it, and now it's gonna make you a little uncomfortable. And that's what I want. I want you to be uncomfortable, but we're gonna laugh about it together. You know, not laughing at this. I don't know if I'm making the right sense. Do you guys know what I'm saying?
I listened to an Andrew Dice Clay album for the first time ever last year, and that thing made me uncomfortable and not a good let's talk about it kind of way.
Yeah,
but that's there's different approaches where people they're comedians used
but
to,
he couldn't be around today.
Yeah,
like he wouldn't be successful today. Not he'd be shut down.
You know, he's got to be in A Star Is Born.
Well, I mean, even Eddie Murphy's old comedy would never work.
No, in fact, I watched Delirious Man. I got very uncomfortable. I'm like, oh no, it's on Netflix. It's going to be banned from Netflix because this is, you can't say that. You can't say that. But he said it. Nah. Guys, did you hear that? I think it's Santa. Oh, welcome to the Ho, Santa. How are you?
Ho, ho, ho. I'm fantastic. How are you?
I think you blew out your O-ring.
I think I did drop my O-ring, yes.
What have you been doing since last year?
Oh, it's been a whirlwind. Lots of things. But, you know, the presents and the Christmas cheer comes first, though.
Really? What does that involve? What does Santa do for Christmas cheer? Are there strippers?
On occasion, just on birthdays. You know, birthdays. That's,
Your birthday, Mrs. or Mrs. Claus?
Mrs. Claus lets me indulge a little bit.
With the elves? You got elf candy strippers?
Stripper elves, yep. It's better than stripper midgets.
Can you say that word now?
I think Santa can.
I just did. Stripper midgets.
Said it again for good measure.
Just one more time for the cheap seats. Stripper midgets.
Oh, man. All right. So we've got some letters for you. You know, like just like last year, you agreed to come by. I know you're busy. You're busy this year. Yeah. Is it a bigger year than most years, or is it a little easier this year?
It's a little crazier. You know, the population just gets more and more. I've had to adapt and change and evolve to keep up with the growing population. We're up to something like 8 or 9 billion people now. So that's a lot to cover in one night. But we'll address that in a little while.
Oh, All right. Can you explain to us, just so we get the logistics down, how you managed to hit so many houses in one night?
Absolutely. And I actually, just to my point there a few seconds ago, if Santa delivers every present, right, then there wouldn't be one single present under the tree leading up to Christmas. But yet, as we get closer to Christmas, these presents just keep building up. Some of them you might know about. Others you're kind of like, I don't recognize that box.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that happen? That's because I dispatch my speed team.
What's your speed team?
My speed team is Santa's presents, : Elven Express delivery. So what I do throughout the month of December is I dispatch my elite teams of elves to deliver these presents. They sneak in and out of the houses throughout the month of, you know, mostly December, maybe early November, depending on the workload. And this allows me just to deliver a couple of presents, you know, throughout each time zone throughout Christmas Eve. So everybody sees Santa flying around, but you know what? Nobody ever really sees Santa delivering into the houses themselves too much. So you always see him in a sleigh. There's a reason for that.
So Santa's lazy?
No, Santa's efficient.
It's like Santa Prime.
Sort of.
I like,
you know,
it.
It's you make just enough of an appearance to remind everybody, you know what? Santa's still out there. However, it's even Santa, it's impossible to hit every single house throughout the world in 24 hours.
Okay, fair enough. Well, if you're ready, we've got some letters for you. You ready?
Yeah. Bring them on.
All right. Now, I want to say that Santa has been a bit under the gun with time constraints lately, so we never know if one of these letters is going to trigger the man. So just be cautious. You never know. I don't know how much he's been drinking. All right, so your first letter comes from Nate Bruce, and he says, "Dearest Santa Claus," spelled with an E. All right, Nate. "Can you please bring a nice, painful death to Cersei Lannister this year?"
Well, I believe the Rolling Stones said it best with, "You can't always get what you want." So, also on top of that, I'm not one to divulge any spoilers. I know what's going to happen. I've been in talks with certain personnel. I know what's going to happen, and I'm not going to ruin that for you, Nate. You're just going to have to watch.
They give you like a review copy? Santa gets an early advance notice of who's going to die on Game of Thrones?
It's an early copy of what is likely to be shown. Yes. It could change, but it's an early release copy.
Is that because they film it there where you're at?
In the North Pole.
Parts of it.
The wall is in the North Pole.
Yeah. It's actually his fence.
I loaned him a couple of dragons.
Now we go to Amanda's got a letter.
Susie Kaplan Olmsted wants to know, what exactly is the difference between Santa and Jesus? She's asking for a friend.
This is easy. Jesus has a rocking body, but I got full use of my hands and feet.
Oh my God. Oh, Santa lives in hell.
I was taking a drink of my nog at the wrong time.
Well, you know what? Let's move on. Let's stay on Christmas. What does it take for a holiday movie or TV special to stay out of the shovelware pile, you know, which is basically the junk drawer, and into your regular rotation?
Well, it's difficult. You mentioned Hallmark movies already. I feel like if I see Hallmark on it or what's that other channel? There's a Hallmark
Lifetime.
Channel. Lifetime.
Yeah.
It's just like an automatic no-go for me. when you just see, you know, two people with Santa hats on and some just generic title at the top of it, yeah, there's no
Christmas
way.
Christmas in Connecticut. Christmas in Ireland. Christmas in Australia.
I don't know. The cheese, if there's too much cheese in it, I'm just going to be immediately turned off. Also, like, another way that turns it off for me is if it's just like, if you could take the movie and it's a romantic comedy and they just slap it and make it in Christmas.
Yep.
Like, I'm not interested. Like, it's not, yeah, that, to me, here. That's not a Christmas, that's not a Christmas movie. It's not about the Christmas spirit. It just takes place around that time. There's exceptions to the rule, but I mean, really, you could almost say that about Love Actually, really.
We were just talking about that. It's really not a Christmas movie by, mm-hmm, by structure.
Oh man,
it's more than Die Hard's more a Christmas movie than Love Actually. If you go watch it, I'm just saying it's a little bit more Die Hard's a little bit more Christmas movie than Love Actually
God.
Is.
I think they're both Christmassy in their own ways, and I would definitely argue that Love Actually is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, more so than Die Hard?
Not more so. They're different. They're different movies. That's not cool. One more than the other.
No, one more definitely.
They're both Christmas. They're both respectable in Christmas categories.
One says ho, 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 and the other does not.
You don't need to say ho, ho, ho.
Definitely does not say it.
There's one talks about it, because it's Christmas. And
one has a Christmas song throughout the movie over and over. They just have a whole Christmas soundtrack.
My God.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. That's in Die Hard.
Going for the positives for why...
Jingle Bell Rock. I don't know why I sung it in the same cadence as the other one, but hey.
I don't know. For a movie to make it in my rotation, I find that holiday movies that are funny... are more likely to wind up in a repeat, like in my regular rotation. Also, I love movies that make me feel like I felt about Christmas when I was a kid. Not to sound like that old fart that just, it's not the same when I was a kid.
No, I get it.
Christmas is never the same as it was when you were a kid. It was magical. It was It was exciting. You woke up on Christmas morning and it was just this awesome, now I just wake up and... it's just another day.
Day where you're busy all day and
you're on an itinerary. You got to hit certain family members. It's a busy day. It really is. It's not relaxing. It's not it's stressful and
it shouldn't be. That's not what it should be.
It shouldn't be. But when I was a kid, it was just a day where we just sat around and we opened presents. We ate cinnamon rolls and
maybe that's what you should do at your house. Like just open presents and eat cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Man, what about you? What does it take to stay out of the shovelware pile and make it in your normal?
It has to have something. It can't be those Lifetime and Hallmark movies like Scott already said. But it doesn't need to be a cheerful movie either. It doesn't need to be something that's all happy. And it just needs to be something that really incorporates the spirit of Christmas in some capacity. Even if it's a scary movie like Krampus, I'm on board for that. I loved that movie. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for people to capture that same Christmas magic in movies anymore because I do think that they just stamp it in the season and say, oh, this is a Christmas movie because there's lights. Oh, okay.
It's commercialized.
Yeah, and it's not really about, there's nothing that, movies for me really have to drive my heart. Like, if you can make me feel something, then I'm interested. Whether that's scared, whether that's happy or just sad and emotional or something, those are the movies that really get me interested. If it's just a very monotonous story and you just are like, oh, well, it's Christmas time and this happens, and you're just going through the three-act structure, okay, I'm bored. That's not going to get me interested. It doesn't need to be a perfect movie by any means, but it certainly has to be something that maintains my interest and sets it apart from the others.
That's the hard part, setting it apart from the others.
That's what I think Elf did so well. Like, it was a Christmas movie about the same Christmas spirit you see in every other movie. Like, some guy is way too excited about Christmas, but he's not the normal guy, and he gets bullied. We're talking about bullying. That movie, he gets bullied all the time. His dad is a jerk.
He's trying to have a great time. Like, yeah. He's just the happiest guy in the room and everybody hates him.
And that's the Christmas spirit, is that no matter how bad things are, you can still kind of overcome that. You make Christmas
just
what it is.
Just like Die Hard. Remember when Santa went down the ventilation shaft to get in and bring the presents and save the people?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's amazing how many Christmas allegories. What about allegories you, Aaron? Man, it's hard anymore because to get into my regular rotation, I need something different, a little special, or a little Kurt Russell. I mean, that helps too. Krampus. Outside of Krampus, I don't know if I've had – I think probably Bad Santa was the last one that made my regular rotation. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, and then Christmas Chronicles will make mine. I'll talk about that more in a minute. But, yeah, not many actually get in my regular rotation. Because I'm very specific. I'm like, give me something I don't get from every other Christmas movie. Do something different.
Yeah, I feel like this is
Elf
the first
isn't my
year.
Favorite, but I do appreciate Elf because at least like that feels like a Christmas. The whole time I'm watching it, you smile. You can't not smile and watch that movie. Mm-hmm. That's what I think a Christmas movie should be. And I can smile during horror movies. So Krampus makes me smile the whole
right.
time.
Well, even from the trailer made me smile. So.
Yeah, it's like. It finds a way to do it different. It's not too over the top. It's not gory or anything. I think it's even PG-13. It's pretty safe.
Oh, really? I didn't
know
that.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
It's not R. It's not R.
It's not?
No, it's not R.
I could have swore that was R.
It's PG-13.
I think this is the first year that I've actually added movies to my rotation, like my regular rotation, in several years.
Is it?
Yeah.
What'd you add?
This year? Well, we're going to get to that, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, before we do that, you know what? Let's do What's This Movie. We haven't done this for a while. So if you think you know what this movie is, we're going to play a little clip. You email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Or you can, if you happen to use the Google app, you can hit the contact tab and do it there. And next week, we'll give you a proper host shout out on our final episode of the season. Here is your clip.
I can't recall a taste of food. Not the sound of water. A touch of grass. Naked in the dark. No veil between me and the way of fire. I can see him with my waking eyes.
Then let us be rid of it. Once and for all. Come on, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you. But I can carry you. Come on!
Okay, speaking of Scott, any new movies or TV specials you're adding to your rotation? Which ones did you add and why?
Well, I added one that I know you added. So you want to talk about that one really quick? Because
Christmas Chronicles, man.
Dude.
Yeah.
I cannot believe how much I like that movie.
Thank you, Netflix. Thank you for giving me Kurt Russell in another iconic role.
You know what? But I knew you were going to love this movie just because Kurt Russell was in
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, there was no way. This movie could have been a turd and you still would have loved it.
I will say, like, the kids, I was struggling at the beginning. Because the one boy, I don't think is a great actor, and about halfway
like
through,
the girl. That's the girl.
The girl is really good.
That's the girl from Big Little Lies.
Yeah, she's really sweet.
Yeah,
but the kid, he was trying too hard to be angsty, and it didn't really work.
Right,
and then it got better as it went on.
But this, and I know that a lot of the listeners have said something similar, like in our Facebook group. This movie is the kind of movie that I felt like I watched when I was a kid. Like I don't know. It just, I haven't seen a movie that made me feel Christmassy, like mm-hmm. a new movie that made me feel Christmassy in a long time. This is a great movie. It had a freaking musical number that didn't make me want to claw my eyes out. It was cool. Like, wait, I just
as soon as, okay, Kurt Russell has a musical number as Santa Claus. If you haven't seen the movie,
have you seen it, Amanda?
I have not.
Okay. Oh my God, you need to see this movie. It's fantastic.
I will tell you this: I am the biggest Kurt Russell fan you probably will ever meet in your
yes,
life.
Yes, that is accurate.
My favorite actor of all time. For anybody that hasn't listened, so that starts, and I immediately go, "Oh no, no." Because music numbers are like my kryptonite. I do not like them when they're impromptu numbers in the middle of a movie where it shouldn't be a music. Like,
I'm
it's not
actually
a musical.
The same. Right.
So it's always like, oh, no. Oh, God. And Christmas movies do a lot. There's a lot of movies where, hey, this is fun. Or they do them as like a climax. And it's just like, oh, my God. And sometimes it'll work. Like, what was that one? Fist Fight? That was where the little girl had a crazy number, and I'm like, this is going to be miserable, and it was awful.
It was
awesome.
Amazing. It was amazing.
Because she cursed like crazy, right?
Yeah,
she was definitely insulting, and I loved every second of her attitude.
So Kurt Russell, in a moment in The Christmas Chronicles, available on Netflix, I am totally plugging that movie, he's in jail, and for some reason—
Is there a piano in this joint?
And he just starts doing a musical number, and part of my heart just sank, like, oh, don't ruin this for me. I was enjoying this so much. And it ends up being, like, my favorite part of the movie, to the point where I'm rewinding it and watching it again, you know, and just singing that song, like, da-da-da-da-da.
It was catchy. It was original, too, wasn't it?
I think it's an old song they just revamped, I think.
It was so good, though. Oh, I'm adding that one to my year. Like every
oh, definitely.
Year.
I'm going to watch it again before Christmas.
I think I am too. I will say, I watch it with my wife, and she's like, man, this is really silly. I'm like, you worship the movie Elf. You can't get any sillier than Elf, okay?
It's
like
definitely silly. Yeah,
it's silly, but it's silly in a charming way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not quite over the top like Elf is, but just a great movie. I love
it. And it has the CGI elves, which I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad, but it was actually kind of cute. Like, they grew on me. I mean, it's just, the whole movie is just kind of fun.
Yeah, and I thought it ended really
well.
I
love Kurt Russell. I don't love the movie. I really like the movie.
I love Kurt Russell as Santa Claus. Yeah. Like, I just love the whole bit about how he feels like he's being portrayed incorrectly in all the marketing and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, that joke was really great. I love how he's Santa Claus when he talks to people that don't know he's Santa Claus. Like, he just is so aloof about the fact that he's Santa Claus. Like, it's no big deal. And
there's a – if you're a big Kurt Russell fan, which I'm sure not everybody is, probably I'm like, I live alone in that. But if you watch the movie, and I won't spoil anything, but there are a lot of nods to him in the real world,
mm-hmm.
which are just great. Just, for me, great. What about you, Amanda? Did you have any –
So I talked about Krampus. That one's been added. But the biggest one that happened last year that will be on my rotation for this year is The Greatest Showman. 100%.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, it's not really Christmas, but
it's
It's
Christmassy for me. Like, it feels, it gives me that joy that I would want to have from Christmas.
I feel like we watch that movie in my house at least once a month.
Do you really?
Seriously. Listen to the soundtrack all the time.
So have you heard the updated version?
They have new bands who kind of re-released the songs. Yeah.
Panic at the Disco did.
Still not better.
No, it's still not as good. But oh, man. Yeah, the original is far better, but it's so cool to see other bands just kind of reimagine it. And,
yeah.
You know what's great about that movie is that...
Everything?
Well, no, I agree. I love that movie. And I remember, you know, I remember writing a review for it and everybody said, no, it's not that good. And then it went on to do well.
I did not say that.
No, you didn't. But there are a lot of people that just, you're being a little too Hugh Jackman loving, you know, whatever. And when it came out, it had a really bad opening weekend. It only made like $8 million or something the first weekend. So they already ruled it as a flop. Mm-hmm. It's done. This movie's dead. And it went on to do almost $200 million in the U.S. and like $500 million worldwide. It was like a monster hit. And it hung on and hung on and hung on. It just would not go away.
It's got such great rewatchability.
Yeah. And people still just want to find something to shit on about it. They're just like, well, that's not really the real P.T. Barnum. Oh, who cares? I don't care, man. It's not revisionist history because it's ridiculous already. Just have fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Is a good one.
Every
and also, it's
single
people
song
love
on
it.
That soundtrack is great, too.
It
there's
is.
Not a, there's not like a mediocre song on that soundtrack.
I don't even really like Michelle. What's her?
Tightrope?
Michelle Williams?
Yeah, I'm not really big on her, like as an actress in general. She's just very meh.
What about in Venom?
Very meh to me. But I really enjoyed her in this, and I liked her music. I was like, okay, I can get behind this.
Tightrope was a sweet song. And like,
it was.
And she just the whole...
She did a good job with it.
She did. Yeah. She, and that's where I was like, I love everything about this movie. And now Hugh Jackman is going around doing a tour for the music from Greatest Showman and also Les Mis.
How bummed were you guys that that's what the news was? That
it's going to be during the whole cruise that that's going to happen.
If I wouldn't have already booked mine, I would have canceled.
Dude, I would legitimately want to go to that so bad. But we're going to be on a cruise. So.
Oh, it's only that week?
Yeah, Chicago.
In Chicago. They have Florida dates and there's one that's in like Michigan. I've contemplated traveling for this.
Well, when is it in Florida? Is it like the week after the cruise or something?
Like, it's like a couple weeks.
I think it's the next month.
Yeah, it's like a month later.
Well, there's, it's like 5th of July or something.
I'm
like
thinking
that.
About it though. I am thinking like seriously. I love Hugh Jackman that much. I might do something crazy.
You know,
like that.
Of all the things that I have ever had to talk my wife into doing, I can talk her into traveling. So.
There we go.
The woman loves to travel.
Well, let's do a little group thing where we travel to go see this because I'm in.
Let's drive and save a fortune.
I would love to see him sing live. His voice is just so,
he's doing Les Mis and Greatest Showman.
Yeah,
stuff.
Dude. I can't. My wife hates Les Mis so much.
Everybody does.
Yeah,
so
I don't
sad.
Like it. Do it's you like Les Mis?
I adore.
Yeah, I thought you did.
So you're
probably gonna like pee your pants if you go.
Yeah.
I dragged my wife to see Les Mis on Christmas Day, and she has never forgiven.
Oh wow.
She's like, why would anybody want to watch this movie on Christmas
Day? Yeah, that's very sad.
I'm with her 100% on that. It's not a Christmas enjoyable.
I love that
movie. It's so dour and depressing.
Hey, I've got another one to add, though. Actually, my wife added one to our rotation.
Okay.
She loves Daddy's Home, too.
I do, too. I saw it last year.
Yeah.
I thought the first one was ridiculous, and I saw the second one. I'm like, oh, my God, that's a good movie. That's a really funny movie.
So that's in our rotation. We haven't picked it up yet, but we will be grabbing that one for sure.
Bad Moms. The Christmas one.
I still haven't seen that.
Really?
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was so funny. Yeah.
Is that out for rent now?
Yeah. It came out last year, so I'm sure it is.
Do you think my wife would like that?
Yeah. There's women being bad. She wants to be naughty.
She loved the first one.
Yeah. She did a group outing. I couldn't go, but she did a group outing to go see.
Oh, that's right. She saw it, but I haven't.
She did, yeah. So she did. I think she...
You should pick it up.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
There you go.
You're welcome.
That one. Thank you.
All right, so now we move on to a game. Amanda has a little game for us. How is this going to roll?
So exactly? I couldn't think of anything more clever than holiday trivia, because that's what this is. It's a trivia game. So
you probably could have if you really spent more time.
I tried.
Okay.
If I could write a whole damn poem, you can come up with a better title.
Well, then help me come up with a better title.
How's this going to work?
So here's the rules. I'm going to ask you guys a series of questions, and I will rotate each question who gets to answer first. Mm-hmm. It'll start with Aaron, then it's going to go to Scott, which means Scott gets the last question.
Okay.
I have the set of questions predetermined, and I'm going to legitimately draw them out as I go so I can randomize them, because some of them are really easy and some of them aren't as easy.
You're going to hear paper because we're so classy like that.
I'm doing it out of a cup. Yeah, okay. I'm really classy.
All right, let's go.
But you guys each have 6 seconds to answer. If you exceed the time or you get it wrong, the question goes to the other person for a chance to answer it correctly.
So Scott, we'll keep track of our own points. We get a point if we get it right.
Please hold up fingers.
That sounds good.
We'll don't cheat.
I'm going to finger gun it, if you don't mind.
You each only get one guess. If you say it incorrectly and you're like, oh, no, I meant this, too bad.
What if I elongate it? What if I go, it's a Christmas?
You have 6 seconds, so I hope you get it done in 6 seconds.
Why 6 seconds? That seems so arbitrary.
Because we're going fast.
Dude, I made a couple of kids that fast.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Are these movie related?
These majority of them are movie related, but they're all Christmas themed.
Okay.
All right. Let's go.
And then the first answer sticks. The person at the end, obviously, is who has the most right
ones. Oh my God. We so get it. Let's go.
Okay. Well, calm down. Somebody give me a timer.
I'll count in my head. Okay. 6 seconds. I got it.
All right. So the first one is going to go.
She's like, how can we make this podcast longer?
Aaron, this is you.
Okay.
Who played George Bailey in the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful
Jimmy
Life?
Jimmy Stewart.
Okay.
I got one.
Yep, you do.
That was really easy.
I know, that's why I said
that
couldn't.
That was very difficult. I'm sorry if you didn't get it right away. I'm sorry.
Scott, who was the man who voiced the Grinch in How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Oh, wait, no. Sorry, let me redo this. The man who voiced the Grinch in How the Grinch Stole Christmas was most famous for playing what popular Hollywood monster?
Hollywood monster? Let's say Dracula.
Oh, you were close, but it was Frankenstein.
I thought you were supposed to give me a chance to answer it.
Oh, shit.
That's too late. No, that's all right. Nobody got it.
I have a backup question, though.
Nobody got it. No, nobody got it. It's fine.
Sorry.
Did you know that one?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. You got the easy one. Hip-hop Anonymous? Damn it, you give him all the easy ones.
In what decade did Coca-Cola start using Santa Claus in advertisements?
Oh, 70s.
Scott?
Oh, shit. I got it wrong.
I think that was the 50s.
The 20s.
20s.
What?
I was going to say 30s first off. So
yeah. I wasn't at all.
Not necessarily television, just like in marketing. Like
they had things before television?
Yes. Yes.
All right. This is to you, Scott.
In what month was the 1947 Christmas film Miracle on 34th Street released?
Mm-hmm.
Which month?
You know this one?
You have 6 seconds, so you better hurry up.
October.
Aaron?
May.
June.
Oh, dude, I knew it was in the summer. I knew it was in the summer. Because it was always
that
like
seems
one of those.
Weird.
That's why it was one of those facts that stuck in my head. I knew it was in the summer. Shit.
All right, Aaron. Who directed The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Oh, come on.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't who you think it is.
One?
Well, Tim Burton, I'm going to go. It's not Tim Burton.
Though. Nope.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know. Baz Luhrmann.
He produced it. Tim Burton produced it. He didn't direct
it. I thought it was Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
He produced it. He didn't direct it.
He didn't direct it. It's Henry Selick.
Yep. I freaking didn't know that, but I knew he didn't.
You knew it wasn't him. Okay.
Can I have an easy one now?
I'm so glad I got George Bailey right off the bat.
I thought they were going to all be that easy. I was like stoked. I'm going to stand a chance.
All right. So, of all the popular Christmas songs, which is the best-selling single of all time?
Oh, wow.
So, think of a Christmas song you think is the best-selling of all time. Single.
I feel like I gotta be. I mean, there are traditional ones. Are traditional ones that count, or are you talking?
It's the most popular Christmas songs.
The most popular Jingle Bells.
Aaron.
Oh, it's not Jingle Bells.
Nope. One.
Actually, I want to change my answer.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
No, I'm gonna change. I'm gonna.
I'll let you have another guess, but it won't count for a point.
Jingle Bell Rock.
No.
Really?
It's White Christmas.
Oh, yeah,
is it really?
Yeah.
That's racist.
Well, that's what the internet tells me. Anyway.
So you got? Oh, there's more.
There's one left, or two left, I'm
two
sorry.
Two left, because we got eight. All right, I got 1 point still.
And wait, hold on, who is
it's my turn.
It's his turn.
My turn.
All right. In what famous mall was Jingle All the Way filmed in?
The New York Shopping Center.
Mall of America.
Yeah, you got it.
Wow, that's really sad that I didn't know that. All right, you get 1 point, so raise your finger.
You guys are tied.
Yeah, we're tied.
All right, so...
Are there other famous malls besides Mall of America? Like, how is Mall of America not the first one you thought of?
There's the Chicago one, but I don't even remember the name of it.
Yeah, exactly. Woodfield Mall.
Sorry.
So here's the question, and if neither of you get this right, I do have a backup.
Okay.
The French word Noël is often used around Christmas, but what was its original meaning in Latin?
I thought Noël was the name of... It's Father Noël. It's the name of Santa Claus.
But what does it mean in Latin, Noël?
It means every letter of the alphabet except for the L.
That took me a second. Well played.
I don't freaking know.
Come on, that was funny as shit. I'm laughing still in my head. I say give it to him just for that. To me?
Yeah.
Because he got it wrong, I assume. Father.
Birth.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. All right, so here's the tie-breaking question.
Is this like first one to answer kind of thing? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, a buzzer. Okay. All right.
Yep.
I still you don't have to hold up one finger. We know you have one point.
Okay.
Sorry. He wants you to know. We're tied, damn it.
All right.
How many of Bill Murray's brothers appear in... Oh, wait. Hold on. And what was the name?
Scrooge. Scrooge.
Yeah. How many of Bill Murray's brothers appear in the movie Scrooge?
Three.
Yeah, it's three.
You got it right. So Aaron wins.
He's the guy that died, right? The guy, the blue guy? Mm-hmm. And then...
I don't remember their names, but I know there's three.
I did not know any of this.
And then... the guy that was running the TV, he's one of the bosses, right? Or one of the executives.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, Scott? I'm going to tell you, in the spirit of Christmas, I'm going to, because you're really close anyway, so you knew the answer. Uh-huh. I'm going to give you my win.
Aww.
Because Noel was that funny. I will.
She's just going A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. There's Noel.
All right, so Christmas movie or TV special with that.
I'm going to be really honest. I didn't understand the joke till right now.
Are you serious?
You didn't get why I was laughing so hard?
I thought he was just saying, like, no, he wasn't going to answer. And I was like, I don't think that's that funny.
No L.
Yeah, I get it.
The sad part is somebody listening just got it, too. And they're like, yep. Oh!
I'm so glad you explained it to
Your
me.
Your face is so red right now. It's adorable. We've also got one from Ty Nelson. And Ty says, Santa... Can we get a sequel to Close Encounters of the Third Kind where Roy comes back from space and has to deal with his pissed off family? If not, how about peace on Earth and goodwill towards man?
All right. Well, Ty, thanks for squeezing in about 40 freaking questions here, but good deal. First off, I love the Dreyfus also, but I mean, have you seen the guy lately? He looks horrible. His, you know, besides his family's hated him for like the last 40 years ago, you know, all this, so for all this time. So there's not much of a story there. Plus, Terry Garr, she's scheduled to die within like the next 2 years. So it's just not going to happen. As far as peace on Earth, you know, I can't stop Christmas from being erased out of the, erased out by all the social justice warriors. So not much help there either, bud. Sorry.
Santa took on the internet right now. He's like, screw you, SGW, SJW. Maybe
yeah. So what's your take on that, Santa, about, you know, the radio's not playing, Baby It's Cold Outside anymore?
Well, it's funny because me and a friend have recently had conversations about that. And yes, there is a rapey aspect to it. However, I don't see it that way. I see it as a song that was from a different time. And that's really about it. I think a lot of people are way too sensitive these days. And if as obviously Santa's job is very busy, 365 days a year. And I wish I had the time to bitch and moan about little things and create all kinds of hype and hysteria over things that really shouldn't be.
Fair enough.
You ever worried one of the elves is going to have a little issue with Santa? Like maybe he got a little handsy over the Christmas
Not
ham
if she
this
knows
year?
What's good for.
All right, moving on. I've got a letter of my own. This is from me. I want you to answer two questions for me, if you would.
All right.
Number one, how exactly do you get in and out of the houses without chimneys? I've always wanted to know the answer to that.
That's kind of like saying, how much does a car cost? Or
what?
Yeah, it's there's so many facets to these questions. You know, you want something very specific. However, it's a trade secret. Mm. I got to have some tricks up my sleeve. Otherwise, there will be all sorts of Santa impersonators, right? So let's just say there's a way into every single home out there. And I'm talking everyone from the hood with the bars on the windows and the doors all the way to the luxury mansions in Beverly Hills. I got my ways. They each require a certain specific set of skills.
Do you ever steal from somebody? Like, I'll give you this gift, but I'm taking this one. You're like, Santa needs a new 65-inch.
Nope. I've never stolen. I've only taken what's been left out for Santa.
Have they ever left their wives out?
I have been propositioned a couple of times. Yeah.
Nice.
But you know, I'm pretty faithful to Mrs. Claus. So
pretty faithful.
Pretty faithful.
Mostly.
Not like faithful. I'm it depends pretty
if
she, faithful.
If she's only wearing stockings, what do you expect Santa to do? My second part to my question, really it's two questions. Can you explain what the Christmas spirit is?
Okay. Well, that's actually my favorite part of this whole season. It's people are more selfless, right? So there's a stronger focus on serving others, helping those that are in need or maybe not as advantaged as they are. And also just lifting other people's spirits in general. And I mean, that's kind of what Santa's all about here. So honestly, there are probably some traits that should be present the other 11 months of the year. But, you know, I'll take what I can get right now.
Oh, like what brings it out? Do you know what brings the Christmas spirit out? Can we get it the other 11 months? Is there a way that we can exercise it from people?
Well, there's nothing. I can't do that. That's up to the individual people to do that. They have to make a conscious effort to say, you know what? I know I'm in a hurry, but let me hold this door open for somebody. Let me give a little bit of money or let me just maybe not even give money to this homeless person on the street. Let me just buy them a lunch. Little things like that can go a long way and have a huge ripple effect down the line.
If it were an Instagram challenge, they would.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the help a bum challenge, whatever.
All right, make that a hashtag. I like it.
Maybe somebody who's got better marketing skills than me come up with a better title.
Probably.
You get the idea.
Yeah. Santa's not good at that.
Help a bum stripper midget.
Strip a midget?
Stripper.
I know, but maybe they want to strip a midget.
No, that
crosses over into that whole like Me Too movement thing too much. They may not want to strip, and then you go stripping midgets, and then it's a whole ugly fiasco.
No means no, no means no, no means no.
Yeah, I like that. Are you speaking from experience, Santa?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
All right.
You got to answer all kinds of questions that are uncomfortable.
This went to a weird place
early. It did, yeah.
All right, let's talk about movie and TV cliches, Christmas cliches. Normally we discuss cliches, we're talking about the ones that annoy us. But when it comes to Christmas movies, there's often like little moments we each love in our holiday movies that actually make them a little bit more endearing. So, what are the cliches you find in Christmas movie or TV specials that you either look forward to or make the experience even better? And we'll kind of round robin just like top three.
So I get to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
One of my favorites is it's done so many times, and part of me gets tired of it, but I still love it. Adults don't believe in Santa Claus. The kids do. And something happens where the kids make the adult believe in Santa Claus again.
You love that one?
I love that. The Santa Claus, they do it. And, you know, it's just, there's that sweet moment where they remember what it's like to be a kid and to believe in Santa. And in all of these movies, he is real. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I love that. I know it's done so many times, but I absolutely adore it.
That's a good pick.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I love the cold-hearted, distant, and lonely person who hates the holidays, but somebody warms them up to the Christmas spirit.
Yep.
And by the end of the movie, they're like, all right, Christmas ain't so bad after all.
Yeah, especially when like you learn about that person, about why they hate Christmas so much. Like they had some traumatic event. Yeah,
yeah.
Like Phoebe Cates and Gremlins, and then she's got the most horrible story in Christmas movies.
Or a Christmas Carol, like Scrooge.
Even the Grinch.
Yeah, even the Grinch. Like I just love where you see their backstory because you hate the character so much. They're just this cold-hearted person, but you kind of empathize with them a little bit. And then they go through something and then they're just.
And then there's always somebody around who helps bring them to the Christmas spirit and like loving that. And that's what it's all about is, you know, that kind of love between people for Christmas.
To tie into that one a little bit too, because this is kind of on the same boat. And I know because I mentioned Christmas Carol, but I also love it when they do these movies where people are talking about. The person is seeing other people talk about him when he's not around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, again, Christmas Carol. You know what I mean? Like when they're playing the game, Tight as a Drum and SS Minnow and all that kind of stuff. And then they come back and when he's all happy and in love with Christmas again, he references that conversation to them and they're like, how the hell did he know that? Like, I don't know. I like that. So
one that I really love is, I don't know if it's still very prominent in the Me Too era, but
oh boy,
Kissing Under the Mistletoe.
Oh,
I love kissing under the mistletoe when they have that in a movie where like there's mistletoe and then you look at them and you're like, we got to make out. And they do. Nowadays, probably can't do it because now you make that joke and like, you just assaulted me and we're not cool with that.
Well, so, it's two people who are agreeing to go under the mistletoe.
Well, is it because I used to carry mistletoe around?
I had a little hat that had like a thing that would like hang it in front of my head like this. And just
really?
Walk. No, I'm just.
I could see you wearing a hat like that though.
I totally did used to carry it around with me and just hold it up and be like, anybody, anybody. And
that's when Scott kissed you.
No, that's when the HR called.
Yeah. See, I used to hang it from the front of my belt, and then
and then Scott took it too far.
It was still funny.
Anything else, Scott? What else you got?
I love it in a movie when something happens that makes family and friends just reconnect that haven't been together. Even in Christmas Chronicles did that, where I don't spoiling it, but there's a character that a police officer that Kurt Russell runs into.
Yeah.
There's a side story that happens, and I love that. People that haven't talked and they come together and they talk because it's Christmas and that's when you're supposed to reconcile and do that. I don't know. That's Christmas spirit to me.
Yep, I agree. I like when something tragic happens that to Santa.
You got some dark ones, man. Wait.
Something tragic happens to Santa that kind of halts his mission to get presents to Christmas, but it resolves itself in the end. It's basically just a plot point.
Yeah.
Where something like happens to Santa.
I love when we have talking animals.
Do you really?
It's like the only kind of movie I'm okay with it in. Where you just have random animals or creatures or snowmen or whatever that just start talking.
Okay, because I'm like trying to rack my brain to think of one.
Well, I mean like reindeer or elves in Christmas Chronicles, the most recent one, or snowman, Frosty the Snowman. You know, just whenever I hear, I normally don't like that because I'm just like, that's so Disney-fied. But for whatever reason, in Christmas
Lion King
movies.
Lion King says hi.
Yeah. Christmas movies, I really love it. I just really love it. I think it's just, I don't know why.
I wouldn't
it's
have expected
sweet.
That, honestly.
Yeah. Me either.
So. I love it in a movie when there is a kids' Christmas program that goes horribly wrong for some reason. even Home Alone, when the brother puts the two candle lights like behind his ears, and then the whole thing goes to crap, or I don't know. Love Actually, when they've got like lobsters for some reason. I just love it when there's something about that in the family. Just it's a memorable thing and for horrible reasons. I don't know. I like that. I was big in Christmas programs when I was in school as a kid. So
yeah, I get that.
That was a big deal.
On a side note for Home Alone, because I just watched it this morning in its entirety, they are mean to him, to Kevin.
You did finally watch it?
I did.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So do you like that movie?
I like it for being a Christmas movie, but I definitely have some concerns about this family.
We actually were going to have a bit where you would talk about that movie in terms of because you'd never seen it. So
I want to know what Mr. McAllister does for a living to be able to afford that house and to take, what, 9 people to
Paris? His electricity bill. That's what I want to figure out.
No, what I want to figure out is how do you not know your child is there? You freaking jackass.
They
how do you not know? No, they don't. Nothing you can tell me explains their behavior.
No, I understand they completely forgot till they got on the plane. And I felt really, I was like, this is like horrible.
We're having a Home Alone tangent right now.
But they did they like did a head count. The one person did a head count. And I'm like, as a parent, I don't know that I would trust some other person to do the head count for all of the kids that are going when there's like 15 of us.
I can tell you. No, you would not as a parent. You would make sure your child was accounted for.
Yeah. But I appreciate
Scott's a teacher and he knows to do that. Like, hey, all 26 of you? Yep. Gotcha. Good job. You don't just forget like the one you birthed.
Well, the number, the count was right, I think. It was just because there was that one kid. Yeah, the neighbor kid was there.
No, I get it. Okay. Nothing you're saying can justify that kind of
the fact that they got on the plane without him.
Yes. Yeah. Like, nobody's like, where's Kev?
Especially because everybody's...
Well, he's number 13. Oh, okay. Well, as long as 13's here, we're good. What? No.
I think where's one of the even bigger concerns was that they let Kevin get on another plane in the sequel.
Yeah.
Because he like...
Did they really?
Like he went on the wrong plane. Spoiler alert. It's like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Like he has his boarding pass and he's going running to get on there, but he went to the wrong terminal and he bumped into the stewardess lady that had all the other boarding passes and dropped it. And they all got mixed together and the plane was about to leave. And he's like, my dad's right there. And they're like, okay, we'll just go ahead and get on the plane. Like that would not happen today.
No.
Like, wow.
It wouldn't happen then either.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
It's just like,
either.
I mean, I get it. They had to stretch it to make the movie work, but it's hard to watch a movie and go, nah, it's not going to happen.
It's still fun. Yeah.
The movie. I do love the movie.
I've watched Home Alone already, and I'm going to be watching it at least again. The music and
he's clever.
the goofiness.
He's violent. He's a serial killer. It's really what Kevin is. He's a serial killer.
I really have a hard time watching the pokey thing through his foot scene on the stairs. Oh. That is like, is it Daniel Stern? Is that his name? That mm-hmm. that like does that the best high pitched girly scream?
Yeah,
it's a grown good. Man is so good. Ah, oh, I love it. The sequel's pretty funny too, but not as good as the first.
My last one is.
Wait, do I get to say my?
Last one? I thought you did. You? I'm
no,
sorry.
No, we just started talking about Home Alone.
Okay.
My Hang last. On.
I just slapped my face. Nobody can see it or hear it.
Which, you know, can we talk about that can for a second? Because that bothers me. The reason that aftershave makes your face burn is because you're shaving your face and you've got tiny little, you know, you've opened the pores on that. And he's not actually shaving.
Yeah,
so
I was
going to
ask about this. I was like, did he just have, like, glue on his hand?
Wait, or something? That's where the believability comes into question for you, is that part.
No, it's just,
not abandoning the child, not the guys that the guys are trying to break in and determined to kill this child.
Yeah.
And him trying to kill them. None of that. But the shaving cream, it's a little step too far.
It's not shaving cream, it's aftershave.
Well, whatever. That's too far.
That scene has been so iconic. When that movie came out, it was the everyone was doing
it still
the
still is yeah
like
yeah.
Every, that was the thing, and like there was no reason for him to be doing it because he was what was he mimicking his dad when
yeah.
dad put on aftershave lotion and talked about the burn, so he just assumed there's supposed to be like if you put this stuff on it makes your face burn. That's
you just made the whole movie fall apart. I don't even want to watch it anymore.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Christmas. Yeah,
what can I say except you're welcome. That's not a Christmas movie.
He just did Moana for no reason.
That's a great movie. I'm really sad that it's off of Netflix.
What's your last one?
Okay, so this is me being a woman. I love when there's a guy who makes a stupid mistake and then he realizes, oh, I let the girl go. And then maybe it's at the airport or whatever he does, but it's for the Christmas time. And he goes out and he finds her and he tries to make the resolution. Like he tries to fix whatever wrongs he did. And by the end of the movie, they're back together.
That's just a romantic comedy. You just gave like the third piece of the formula to a romantic comedy.
Yeah, but it happens at Christmas time.
Oh, boy.
There's snow on the ground. There's a mistletoe, and then they kiss.
And there's terrorists. And the you know.
That is on my 9/11. Last one, is when terrorists show up. I just love that part of it. No, my final one is when you get, because you always have like Christmas classic songs throughout the movie.
Yeah.
But whenever you're at the end, you get that original, you get an original Christmas song.
Oh, yeah.
Where they have a new one that's just catchy, and you can add it to your rotation. So to me, it's like a twofer. I get a movie and a song. I love that.
Hmm.
Nice. I have a bonus one. I love it in the stories when, for whatever reason, Santa can't deliver the presents and has to rely on a kid or somebody else to deliver the presents for them. I think that's fun. I just love, again, it kind of ties in with the, you know, kids don't believe or adults don't believe in Santa Claus thing and they're forced to believe in Santa Claus because they have to do the job. I don't know. I love that.
No, I love that too. I also, tying into that, love when, because every movie has a different way to explain the rules of how Santa does it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that too. Like just the different very options of how Santa gets to every house, how he delivers, how he drops the chimney, you know, all that stuff. Just I love the variations that every movie has to.
I have my theory about that, by the way. I was talking to my wife about this.
You have an actual theory about
it? Yeah, I believe that.
Because Santa's real.
Well, right.
We just talked to him earlier.
We did. So Santa, everyone says like Santa only works one day a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he does. I think he's actually delivering all year long, but nobody knows he's there, and through the power of magic and whatnot,
it becomes evident to you on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So it's like a hologram.
Exactly.
Or
there's
it's
like a time
invisible.
Vortex or something. So he's actually working. Because, I mean, I can buy that he could deliver to every house
all
over 365 days, but that one night garbage doesn't make any sense. But
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Good theory.
Yeah.
What happens to the cookies, though?
Mom and Dad actually eat those.
Mom and Dad are dicks.
They're hungry.
They're hangry.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was fun. And you know what time it is? It's time for Scott Clark's annual Christmas poem. If you've never listened to this part of the episode, or you never listened to a holiday episode before, maybe this is your first time, you're a newer listener or something like that, every year since we started, Scott has crafted a poem of sorts. And this year, it's going to be a little different, the way I understand it?
Yeah, you both have a piece of paper in front of you, but I don't want you to flip it over yet.
Can I still cue the fireplace?
You can. Oh, please do. You want to wait until my instructions to cue the fireplace? Or do you want to turn that fireplace on?
I just want to crank it up.
Turn it on.
I just want to get warm and toasty. All right. So the fireplace is cranked up. We're ready to go. I'm a little warm. I'm snuggly. What are we doing?
All right. So this is going to be two-part. There's going to be a typical poem that we're going to listen to right here in front of the fireplace.
Okay.
You guys are going to listen. Afterwards, there's going to be a musical number.
Like an interlude?
Well, there's going to be a break after the end of the poem.
Okay.
We're going to kind of reflect on that. And then I'm going to break out into song.
Okay.
Now, in that song, I've put the lyrics to the chorus on a piece of paper, which you both have in front of you.
Okay.
Once I start the song, you're welcome to look at it. And at the end of the song, I'm going to do the chorus a couple times. And ideally, I would like you to join in and sing along with me.
You got it.
If you
can, I jingle my bells on my sweater.
You don't do that.
They're on your parts. That's a very uncomfortable. You can't see it, but Amanda's wearing a shirt, so you can get this visual in your head.
It's a Christmas sweater.
It's a Christmas sweater, but the bells are on her breasts.
So she's just going to go, jingle bell, jingle bell.
If you hear them jingling, that's my boobs moving around.
That's, you got that in your head, guys.
Tell you what, at the end of the episode, we'll play Cherry Pie. And you can
okay, great. Perfect.
I hear Santa likes that. You're short. All right,
I'm not short. I'm like an average
height.
You're
a little
person. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. Here is this year's Christmas poem. Are you ready?
No, the question is, are you ready?
I'm going to try. Here we go. Another year has come and gone. We're sitting here right after dawn to celebrate the Christmas season, for if we skipped, it would be treason. For this year's poem, I took a new approach. I hope my idea doesn't bother or encroach. So here's my plan, my fingers are crossed. Here are the lives from 2018 we have lost. I know what you're thinking. Scott, I don't want sadness. I ask that you be patient. There's a method to my madness. So here's the year's memoriam of people who have passed. We'll miss their work a lot and hope their memories will last. We lost this year Steve Hillenburg, the creator of SpongeBob. For bringing children laughter, he did a bang-up job. We also lost Scott Wilson, who was Herschel in Walking Dead. His character's true kindness was always a common thread. Billy Daly left this earth after playing Major Healy. You can't forget that character from the show I Dream of Jeannie. And who can forget Margot Kidder, the original Lois Lane? We also lost the voice of Hal in Mr. Douglas Rain. Luther on the show called Coach was played by Jerry Van Dyke. That character was one for sure that no one could dislike. Harry Anderson was mostly known for his portrayal of Harry Stone. But one that left a giant hole, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. Another death that really hurt was Mr. Reynolds, but most call him Bert. Country music's day went dark when we lost the host of Hee Haw, Roy Clark. But there's one death that felt atomic, a man who wrote an occasional comic. Stan Lee, you made Spider-Man, Daredevil, and Hulk. And now that you're gone, all the nerds now just sulk. I could go on for hours, but I don't have that much time. To be honest, these names are impossible to rhyme. Eunice Gayson, R. Lee Ermey, and Senator John McCain. Robin Leach, John Mahoney, and Anthony Bourdain. Vern Troyer, Charlotte Ray, and Oscar winner William Goldman. Audrey Wells, Gary Kurtz, and director Milos Forman. But there's one man that this group missed the most. Someone we called friend and not just a host. This year the host lost a core founding member. A huge Star Wars fan that we know as McCumber. We know that you dreamed of a life up in space. We all miss you dearly, but you're in a better place. While you're spending your days up there wandering hallways, just remember, the Force will be with you, always.
You son of a bitch.
Make me cry.
Are you crying for real?
She said almost. She's bawling. I don't know why you're saying it almost made you cry.
No, I said always.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm crying.
Makes me cry.
Man, there's liquid on my eyes. Damn you, Scott.
I was like, oh, great, we're going into death.
No, it was well done. Well done. Now
glad
what do we do?
It. So I don't want to end on a sad note.
Okay.
So I'm going to get a little silly, and I'm going to sing. So as soon as I start singing...
Can I look at my chorus now?
Sure.
Okay.
If you guys all know one of the Christmas songs that comes out this time of year, it's not really a Christmas song. There's a special song done by Adam Sandler that pays tribute to the holiday Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is to that
Hanukkah.
So here we go. I'm going to do my best. And there's going to be verses in between, so hopefully you can laugh a little bit.
Okay.
Don't you dare read Collider, just listen to the Hollywood Outsider. This show is as special as a unicorn, so make sure you buy popcorn. Mr. Davenport loves to be an artist. His box of flies idea wasn't exactly the smartest. He's definitely got some talent when he uses his voice as puppets. Let's hope he lands a gig on the next movie with Muppets. Amanda Sink, the newest host. She brings a certain sweetness that I sure do like the most. Her presence here has made the episodes all hits. We all know why. This podcast finally has some wits. And then there's Aaron, the man in charge. Please stop asking, because I'll never call you Sarge. There is one thing about which with you I'll fight. You really made me sad when you killed Remake This Movie Right.
Aww.
All three hoes bring you content every week. Die Hard's just a movie, but of that I will not speak. Don't you dare be Collider, just listen to the Hollywood Outsider. This movie is as special as a unicorn, so make sure you buy popcorn. Everybody, don't you dare be Collider, just listen to the Hollywood Outsider. This show is as special as a unicorn, so make sure you buy lots and lots of popcorn.
Well done, man.
That was really good. Well, I like it.
Not bad for yesterday, huh?
No.
You procrastinator.
I am a procrastinator.
I respect it.
Okay, before we go on to the next section, I literally Googled everybody that passed this year,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a list of one. I know we're going to see this at the Oscars and stuff.
Yeah.
But I got a few that I could not figure out how to get into the poem. Barbara Harris, who was the mother on Freaky Friday,
the original Freaky Friday.
Catherine McGregor, who was Harriet Olson on Little House on the Prairie, is gone. Danny Liner, who directed the Harold and Kumar movies and Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's gone. Carlos Ezquerra, who co-created Judge Dredd, the character, the comic book character. The producer of Chicago and Hairspray, Craig Zidane. And one of the last surviving munchkins from The Wizard of Oz, Jerry Marin.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
And then the last one was, I tried so hard to get this one in here, Paul Junger Witt, who was the producer of Dead Poets Society.
Also gone.
Oh, wow.
Man. Yeah. It's a crazy year.
You did
a really good job rhyming those, though.
It was so hard.
I bet.
I tried, so.
Well, we got to wrap the show up. We've been going over an hour and a half now, so we want to definitely get you guys out of here for some. But first, let's wrap up with some Christmas cheer. You have a week off at Christmas, and you just want to get fat, so just real quick, what's your treat of choice?
I got a friend that brings over something every year called heart attack bars.
I've had them. But
They're made with, like, you know those crescent rolls that you get, but you lay them out flat, and then you put salami and pepperoni and Swiss cheese and
oh yum!
They're so bad for you. It's just nothing but a big thing of grease, but they're delicious. That's my absolute favorite.
That's a good one.
I've got a whole meal. I want prime rib, cheesy potatoes, and buttered asparagus.
Prime rib.
These are your treats?
This is a treat for me.
Okay.
I don't ever have prime rib. That is a treat.
If you're gonna go steak, why prime rib?
Look, prime rib is different from steak for me. A steak is a steak. I need A1 sauce for that. Prime rib
is like a roast to me.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It is. Yeah.
It's like a fancy roast.
Totally different.
I'm going Rice Krispie Treats. I love Rice Krispie Treats. My wife makes them great. Your wife, Scott, makes them great. I mean,
yeah, sprinkles make a difference, man.
I love Rice Krispie Treats. They do. Yeah. I will take them, and honestly, every day, but for some reason, I love Christmas cookies that are iced, but I also, Rice Krispie Treats, they always win.
The pink frosting tastes better, by the way. I argue with my wife on that every year.
Really?
But they do. They taste better.
Because it's pink?
I don't know why. I like the pink frosting better.
Okay.
Well, that's an interesting thing.
That's an interesting, yeah. So have you come across a new holiday tradition that maybe your friends or someone does that you want to incorporate in your own holidays? Amanda?
Well, I talked about the Chicago trip that I do with one of my friends every year. And I would like to continue that tradition as I go along each year and going back into Chicago in December. But one thing that's very Christmassy, like for Christmas time, as I get older, I want to pass along a tradition that my father has for me, which is giving a movie from his childhood to me, and I get to basically kind of relive his childhood in my time. And I want to do that for my future kids. That's what I would like to be able to do. So that's a tradition I want to pass along.
Nice.
One that I saw this year, I thought this was really cool. Okay. Elf on a Shelf. Everybody knows what that is, right? Yeah. People take pictures of elves.
I teach children. Yeah. Trust me. I know Elf on a Shelf is.
Well, I know somebody who, what they do is their whole family will try to see who comes up with the best picture of Elf on a Shelf, like in random locations or random things. They put the elf on a shelf or elf somewhere and they take a picture of it. And then when they get together for Christmas, they all throw their pictures out and kind of see who wins. that way. And the winner gets whoever they vote on it, and whoever wins gets a gift. You know,
that's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that is cool.
And they all kind of chip in like $5 toward this gift, and whoever wins gets it. It's like a kind of a cool family thing, and yeah. I'd love to start that.
There should be like a trophy involved somehow too, like an Elf on a Shelf trophy.
That would be cool.
Gets passed around each year.
That's something I want to look at. If not this year, definitely next year, because I just thought that was a really clever idea.
That's a good idea, especially because so many people hate the Elf on a Shelf thing for some reason.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
I think it's cute.
Have fun, man. I think it's fun. Cute. It's Christmas. Have fun.
Whatever gets the kids behaving.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to
Whatever shuts those bastards up.
The idea that I heard was one night, some friends of mine have a podcast, and I was listening to their most recent episode, and they said what they were doing. You've heard of
that. Don't all of our friends have podcasts now?
Everybody does.
Yeah.
But they were talking about how they made like an advent calendar. You guys are all familiar with advent calendars, right? And like the one in Bad Santa had little pieces of candy in it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this one was instead, there was in each day of the month of December was some kind of family activity. And it could be something really small, like we make some snowflakes together or, you know, whatever. Just some kind of thing that we have to do every day together as a family. In my case, it would just be me and my wife. Or if you have kids, you and your wife and your kid or kids. That you just do this one thing together every day. You make time, even if it's just 10, 20 minutes for that thing.
I love that.
That's great.
I think that's a really cool idea. You know, I fully admit I'm the biggest offender of, you know, constantly being on my phone or being on my computer or something like that. You know, some kind of activity that's going to take you away from that.
And that's really cool.
Just kind of enjoy each other. So I think that'd be a cool tradition.
Okay. Well, lastly, before we close this out, tell us a personal story you haven't shared before that perfectly sums up the spirit of Christmas for you.
This was so hard because this is the fifth year we've done this.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm running out of Christmas stories.
We need more Christmas spirit and stories.
I honestly can't remember if I told you guys this one or not. So if I have, I apologize, but I feel like I hadn't. So the first Christmas I spent away from my family was when my family moved to Oklahoma and I was still here in Rockford. It was the first time that we didn't all get together for Christmas. I was well into my 20s, but it was still odd because even when I was an adult, I still drove up to Wisconsin or whatever, and we had Christmas together. So we do this thing in my family where we exchange gifts over the phone. I know it sounds hokey, you know, but we have a speakerphone and we talk to each other while we're opening up the presents so we can hear each other's reactions and all that kind of stuff. We still do it to this day. Like on Christmas Day, we go to my brother's house and we call my mom and we do this exchanging of gifts over the phone kind of thing. But first time we did that, I gave a cheesy gift, and I know you're going to roll your eyes when you hear this, but when I was a kid, my brother and I used to, you know, we'd drive everywhere in my truck or my car, and we had like a rotation of songs that we just loved listening to. I made him a mix CD, okay? But before you groan at me and say—
I love that.
Did you hold up a boombox outside of his room?
But before you—
In your eyes, the light, the heat.
You got to remember, too, this was back when, like, making a, you know, we didn't have Spotify. I couldn't just throw together a playlist and send them a link.
Right.
But there was more to it than just making it. I actually did the artwork on the CD case. I had the label that went onto the CD, and I had liner notes, and I had the front cover and everything. And it was all pictures of us when we were kids. And the best part of it was on the back of it, there was a picture of us coming down the stairs at Christmas one year that my mom or dad took when we were kids with that excited look on her face. And we're looking off from left to right. But there's obviously no Christmas tree there, but there's a list of songs. So the picture looks like we're really excited about the list of songs that are on there. I don't know. So it's super cheesy, I know, but you got to understand, this wasn't easy to do back then.
Right, right.
You know, this is where I had to buy the labels, and I had to get the picture and do the art, and it was a lot of work. And then when we opened the gifts and exchanged them over the phone, he opened it up, and I specifically remember him saying that how much he liked the CD thing. He actually liked it better than whatever expensive gift I had spent money on for him. This was more cherished by him.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I don't know. There's something to be said about those personalized gifts where you don't have to spend a ton of money that, you know, it's about I know it's cliche to say that it's a thought that counts, but the hard work that you put into something sometimes is better when it comes to Christmas.
A few years back at the old job, and there was a lady, because we had to work holidays. Every holiday had to be covered, and they had to be covered, which is sad because at that time, only one person had to work on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're talking hundreds of people, but only one person has to work on Christmas. And they didn't get the option. They had to work on it. So this lady had to work on Christmas Day. And she had a big family and stuff, and she had a new baby. I think her baby was only like a year, maybe almost a little over a year old or something like that. So really, really small baby. But her name came up, so she had to work, you know. And That's the funny part is like you get around Christmas time and not everybody wants to be as Christmassy as they say they do because they don't really want to give up that free day off. Everybody mm-hmm. else got the day off paid, you know. And
did she get like at least double time or something?
Yeah. I mean, you get double time, but still, I mean, it's Christmas Day and, you know, she wants to celebrate. So there was a guy, it wasn't me, so I'm not taking credit for it, but there was a guy who he celebrated on Christmas Eve and didn't, you know, even though he had a wife and kids and everything else, their family kind of celebrated on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
He took her day just so she could have the day off to spend with her family.
Aww.
Which I just thought was the sweetest thing because he didn't have to do that. She didn't ask anybody to do it. She didn't complain about it. She's a very, very nice lady. She just took it off. He just let her take it off.
Nice.
It was really sweet.
That's really sweet.
That's kind of what Christmas should be. You know, it's not about thinking about you. Right. He could have easily just not said anything, taken the day off and enjoyed it with his family. But instead he's like, I'll come in. You know, I don't care. And he didn't need the money. He had a decent, you know, good mm-hmm. Job in the company.
What kind of company? I mean, what kind of business is it that has to have one person? Like, is it retail? Is it
transportation at the time? Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, somebody had to be there.
Right.
Somebody had to be there. So they were there. And she got to spend the time with her kid.
Nice. Very cool story.
Yeah.
So my story isn't for me. It's not like my personal story, but it's one from our hometown. So it's actually something, I don't know if you guys even know about this, but there's a guy who is a huge advocate for single parents, particularly fathers, because he was a single father.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like an encouragement project that's in Rockford. And he's just, I mean, it's just him. And he mm-hmm. started his nonprofit organization. And every year he does something really cool where he feeds homeless people and he works with other local food places to provide meals for these people. But not only that, he has kids of his own and a wife and everything. He does this thing where you basically donations that people make help buy gifts for, you know, children who are in poverty mm-hmm. in our hometown. And so you make like a small donation and he actually gets all the gifts and gives them to you. You're basically like sponsoring these children
nice.
To get some sort of a Christmas gift who don't have something otherwise. And it's not about the gift itself. It's just about making these kids feel like they have something Christmassy because they don't have, you know, they might not have parents are around. I know his personal story was that he was in foster care for the majority of – or for a good portion of his life, a chunk of it. And so a lot of these kids are also, I think, in foster care and stuff like that. So it's a really cool thing that he does on a local level mm-hmm. to try to help make kids feel like they have somebody who cares about them.
Is this different than the Angels or is that the same?
It's different. It's okay. It's called the Fatherhood Encouragement Project.
Oh, nice.
Is the name of the organization. And they have a motherhood one too. So it's not like just one – gender of parent.
Well, I don't want to offend people.
Yeah, right. But it, you know, he started it with the fatherhood and it's a way to try to help because there are good dads out there. There's plenty of them. But this part of what he does is in December, he works to make sure that there's at least something for, and it's like almost 200 kids. I mean, it's substantial.
That's really cool.
Very cool.
So, Santa, Sean McGuire wants to know, can we have drunk Santa Brian back?
Sure. All you got to do is join us on the Ho Cruise in June of 2019.
You're going to bring a Santa costume to the Caribbean?
Hey, you know what? If the interest is there, sure.
The interest is there.
And bring a hat.
And candy canes.
Deal.
Why did that sound so sexual? Why are you like candy canes?
He's got to wear them.
Candy canes.
Are you trying to lick them?
No.
All right, Santa.
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. What you got?
This is an interesting one. This is from Tori. She says, it's been over 10 years. Anyway, can I get some this year? Like, seriously. Thank you, Santa Brian, for all you do. Hope you get some as well.
Wow. What a great idea. I think everybody needs a little bit during the holidays because they are a time of giving after all, right? So
yeah.
If you're, why not everybody get some? You get some nookie. You get some nookie. You get some nookie. I'm like Santa Oprah over here. So, and if you're already getting it on the regular, then why don't you just do that thing your special other likes, but maybe you might not like to do. So, you know,
this is the butt stuff conversation.
It does it, whatever. It could be anything. It could be dressing up as Mrs. Claus, whatever.
I think
is that for you?
Yeah, I feel like you're sending signals.
It's just a Thursday for you, isn't it?
Hey, look, I don't know what every single couple likes to do. So it could be, hey, that stuff may be the norm. There may be something else out there. You know, maybe something public.
All right, Scott, you got a letter.
We got one from Sheila Stockton. Sheila says, Santa, I love my kids, but they've been pains in my ass all year. What can you bring them this year that will teach them to stay off the naughty list?
Sheila. I mean, obviously you love your kids. You know, you carried them for 9 months. They obviously caused you a lot of pain. And of course, you're just legally required to take care of them. However, you don't have to like them, you know. So how about I just put some condoms in their stockings to remind them if they stay naughty, they might be disappointed too one day. Shit. So I don't know how old they are, but the younger, the better chance of them learning. So
they don't last that long. They have an expiration date on them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kept one for like 9 years in my wallet, so it's all good.
Did it work?
Did you use it or do you still have it?
I don't have kids. So I'll put it that way.
Well, thank you, Xana, for coming by. Is there anything you want to say in closing as you head off to finish your toys and get to work?
Nah, not really. I just got a whole lot of stuff to do, so I'm out of here.
Y'all bye,
have a
Santa.
Have a Merry Christmas. Be good to each other. Just be good. Just be good to each other. Quit bitching about everything. Quit getting upset about everything. It's not that bad. Just be good to each other.
Okay, now it is time to wrap this show up. Are you guys ready? We get to sing it out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I really get uncomfortable when your bells jingle, I'll be honest with you. Oh, my God. Yeah, stop.
I'm averting my eyes right now.
There's even little stockings, like, right,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, we get it.
Well, they got to hang from somewhere.
Yeah, right? Well, and it says, naughty or nice, I have an outfit for
okay,
both.
Okay, you're making me uncomfortable. So let's go ahead, and we're going to sing a song. It's called Let It Ho. Let It Ho, as we
we do this every year.
We do it. We did a different one last year, but there's not only so many Christmas songs you can do that aren't really licensed.
That have words in them that rhyme with ho.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it is.
So we're going to start it up, and we're going to sing our way out of here, and hopefully this goes smooth.
Probably not.
The other shows on Apple are frightful, and our fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it ho, let it ho, let it ho.
This podcast doesn't show signs of stopping, and I always bring some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, so come get it ho, get it ho, get it ho.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you just pay us right,
at Patreon,
all the hose pockets will be warm.
Well, my fire is slowly dying, and my dears, we're still goodbying. So as long as you love us so, well, let it ho, let it ho, let it ho.
When we finally say goodnight, you'll know we're really sick of the norm. But if you just hit subscribe, all of 2019 you'll be warm.
Oh, the fire is definitely dying, and my beer, that glass is drying. But as long as you'll have these hoes, we'll let it ho, let it ho, let it ho.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider.
Remember to subscribe on your podcast app of choice or even on Spotify.
TheHollywoodOutsider.com is the website. Buy popcorn on Twitter, and feedback at TheHollywoodOutsider is the email.
And remember, when you head to the theater this holiday season, buy popcorn.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Happy holidays, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and especially Merry Christmas.